Greetings, adventurers. Today we're excited to introduce you to a new story, Dark Dice, a horror podcast that blurs the line between actual play and audio drama, where the story is determined by the roll of the dice. Six adventurers embark on a journey into the ruinous domain of the Nameless God. They will never be the same again. One of the players is not what they seem after a doppelganger, a creature that can assume the form and voice of whatever it kills, infiltrates the team. As the players are picked off and replaced one at a time, can they figure out who the monster is before it's too late? Can you? Here's a quick example of what our show sounds like.
The shambler with the jar of liquid inside of him.
Soren Arkwright let loose an arrow that cracked the glass, passing through the spine of the creature. The shambler still managed to maintain its forward momentum, but stumbled as it eagerly tried to bite and swipe at Soren, landing near his feet.
As Jeff Goldblum has now joined our cast, Dark Dice is available however you listen to podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Will.
I'm Brian.
This is a podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons & Dragons, from mucky materials to maddening mysteries. And today we're covering the Mind Witness.
Prepare yourselves.
I cast Fireball.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I'm doing well, because guess what? It's the year of the beholder.
It's the year of the beholder. Behold.
Behold. And it's been a while since we actually did anything beholder related that wasn't building our beholders, which is beholder related and fun. But let's actually cover beholder lore in this year of our beholder.
I would like that. I would enjoy that.
So today we are covering another beholderkin, the Mind Witness. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about the Mind Witness?
I know it's a beholder.
Yes, it's a beholder kin. It's not a beholder.
It's a beholder kin.
Yes.
I know that.
Now I've paired the Mind Witness with another monster today, the Intellect Devourer. This is for two reasons. As much as I really like the Mind Witness as a monster, there just isn't really a ton of lore to talk about. That being said, I think they're interesting. I think there is a lot to talk about. There's just not a lot of lore written down. I will also say the Mind Witness has a nice chonky stat block, which will be cool and fun to cover.
No, I love the chonky stat blocks.
Yeah, we all do. And due to the nature of the Mind Witness, this is just as much of a Mind Flayer episode as a Beholder episode.
Oh, shit. Mm-hmm. That's scary.
Indeed. And the Intellect Devourer, which is the other monster we're talking about today, is also Mind Flayer adjacent. Also, we will have a minor cameo appearance by our favorite fart monster today, the Flumph.
Oh, boy. I love that cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Underdarky.
Underdarky. Right. Yeah. So without further ado, let's get into this double feature creature of an episode.
I like all those words you said right there.
Bet you did. So most beholders and beholderkin in the world of D&D are birthed from the mad imaginings of the creature itself. But the Mind Witness is quite different, as it is instead a beholder that is captured and experimented upon until it becomes a new creature called a Mind Witness.
Oh man, what could possibly be powerful enough to capture a beholder?
We'll find out.
Okay.
Beholders may be some of the scariest things in the Underdark, but they are not the scariest. That award probably goes to the Mind Flayers or the Illithids.
There it is.
These hyper-intelligent, super psychic squid people dominate, subjugate, and enthrall all they can get their tentacles on, and beholders are not immune to this fact.
Bad Squidwards.
Although, Robert
Downey Jr. kind of took that one out from under me.
Robert Downey Jr., what do you mean?
Yeah, in Infinity War. He's like,
oh, yeah.
Get off my planet.
What was that dude's name again?
SpongeBob character.
Yeah, what was the guy's name, though?
He was the priest of Thanos.
Yeah, he was the priest of Thanos.
I don't know what his name was.
He had a cool name, and I can't remember what it was.
Damn,
I'm sure
okay,
everyone
hang
in the
on.
Comments will let us know.
No, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it for
he
them.
He was the best of all Thanos' minions. Like, he was the coolest.
I think for sure he never failed a mission.
Yeah, no, he super succeeded.
Yes, extra succeeded.
Yeah. What was his name?
Who were Thanos' henchmen? The Black Order?
Mm-hmm.
Ebony Maw.
Ebony Maw. No, that's cool.
I didn't even have to read the other ones, I'm pretty sure.
No, it's Ebony Maw.
Just because we're here. Corvus Glaive.
Yes,
Proxima Corvus Glaive. Midnight.
Corvus Glaive is the one with the glaive.
Okay, yeah.
Proxima Midnight was the badass chick who fought Scarlet Witch and Black Widow.
Black Dwarf.
Who? Oh, that's probably the big guy, because, you know, get it? It's like calling a big guy tiny.
I see. Super Giant and Black Swan. Or maybe it's more like dwarf star, like you're really huge.
Oh, okay. All right, back to
that was a huge derailment that we haven't had in quite some time.
No, it's always the MCU that does it to us. Yeah. If a beholder can be stunned and brought safely to the brine pool of the elder brain of an illithid colony, it can be converted through seramorphosis into a mind witness. Now, as a recap, seramorphosis is a bodily change that occurs when an illithid tadpole reaches maturity and is then incited into the brain of another being, usually a human, but in this case, a beholder.
Animorph style.
Indeed. The tadpole eats away the victim's brain matter and essentially replaces the brain, erasing all the subject's personality and memory, but leaving the physical body alive and under the tadpole's control.
That's wild. I'm starting to remember this episode, our Mind Flayer episode, and where we talked about a lot of this stuff. I think we talked about them. They've got like big tanks, right? Mm-hmm. Like liquid tanks.
The big fat vats of these guys. And they eat each other too, and then they pick the strongest.
Oh,
they
put
it around other people's brains.
Just having a man, mind flayers really are like crazy things.
Imagine if we had a tank of human babies that ate each other, and then we would pick the strongest and have that baby eat another creature and take its body. That's the equivalent.
400 babies. That's the deepest YouTube cut ever. The things you said are horrifying.
Yes,
and yeah,
because they are.
I imagine them, so thanks.
Funnily enough, you would think that, you know, like when you seramorphosis upon a human, transforms a human into a much more powerful psionic entity of like lawful evilness, right? You would think doing this to a beholder would like soup up, you would get a super illithid beholder. You don't.
Yeah, okay.
You don't act. That's not actually what happens. I'll tell you what happens. So
you don't get like a floating Davy Jones.
No, you don't. That would be cool. But what you do get, I actually like better in its own way. We'll get
then
to it.
Then floating Davy Jones?
Yes.
What if we put the hat from Pirates on?
No, okay. Don't help. If anything, it hurts the situation.
All right.
So the process of seramorphosis transforms four of the beholder's eye stalks into tentacles, similar to that of a mind flayer. So we're getting close to the Davy Jones bit.
Okay. I'm liking this.
And it alters some of the beholder's eye rays. Less intelligent than beholders and less liable to endanger the colony, mind witnesses are psionically imprinted with devotion to the elder brain and submission to all illithid commands, making them almost as obedient as their other favorite pets, the intellect devourers, who we will get to at the back end of this episode. The average mind witness is a 6-foot diameter orb dominated by a central eye and a small lamprey-like maw. Ooh. 6 eyes on stalks sprout from the top of the orb as 4 waving tentacles dangle below. 5e artwork depicts all the eyes of the mind witness as being milky white, as if the creature is blind or dead, which is fitting as it is essentially a psychic vegetable.
Yeah, like and they're going to process like visuals, like it's like a big walking baby monitor, or not walking, floating.
Yeah, kind of. It's like essentially what I'm, you would think seramorphosis would turn the beholder into like a super crazy powerful thing, but instead it becomes like a walking, like a zombie.
A hall
monitor. Almost becomes zombified, yeah.
Okay.
So the primary function mind witnesses provide to their mind flayer, a lot of mind colony, is to improve telepathic communication between all psychic entities colony-wide. A creature in telepathic communication with a mind witness can converse telepathically through it to as many as 7 other creatures the mind witness can see, allowing the rapid spread of commands and other information. They are like sentient pylons from StarCraft.
They are like Starlink in the real world. Or like
Starlink? What's Starlink?
Or like a cell phone tower.
Yeah, very much so. They're like little cell phone towers.
I think Starlink in nerds will correct me, but Starlink is Elon Musk's like, or Tesla's like satellite Wi-Fi to Earth system.
Okay, for sure. Yes, we'll go with that.
We'll go with Starlink.
Yeah, because it sounds cool.
It's modern.
Indeed. Due to the complete erasure of their personality and lack of a will of their own, mind witnesses ride an odd line of neutrality, or perhaps it should be said that they're unaligned. If separated from its illithid masters in a permanent sense, a mind witness will naturally seek out other telepathic creatures to tell it what to do. Mind witnesses have been known to ally with flumps and telepathic planar beings such as demons, shifting their worldview and changing their alignment to match that of their new masters. Now, flumps and mind witnesses make for perfect symbiotic allies. As we discussed in our flumps episode, they are smelly floating jellyfish monsters with hearts of gold.
Yeah.
They are very psychic, but also very weak and not great at defending themselves from the terrible dangers of the Underdark.
So that means that the mind witness likes to huff farts.
Mind witness doesn't have a nose to huff anything.
It's got a mouth.
It does. So I guess so.
just likes to eat psychic farts.
Indeed. To further exacerbate the situation, they are hugely empathic and deeply feel the intent and emotions of all creatures near them. And since creatures of the Underdark are terribly evil and nasty with equally evil and nasty feelings, our lawful good fart friends end up just being lawfully sad most of the time.
Right. Lawful sad.
Mm-hmm.
Aw.
Mm-hmm. Enter the mind witness.
We were going to put that on a shirt. We never did.
We never did. Since a mind witness will change to reflect its masters, it will become a beacon of hope and happiness amongst the flumps. And due to its psychic boosting ability, it will empower the flumps and give them a deeper connection with each other, causing a positive emotion feedback loop. Lastly, mind witnesses are far stronger than any pack of flumps, so will be a fantastic bodyguard for the squishy guys.
That is pretty fucking cool, actually.
Yeah, exactly. They make great partners, and I love it.
Sweet.
Any questions about mind witnesses before we go over the stat block? Because that's all there really was ever written about them.
If a mind witness and its pack of flumps, which reminds me a lot of like a shark with those little like... the creatures that eat the bacteria off the shark.
Oh, right.
They'll just like a bunch of small fish will float around the shark.
Cosmoses, whatever they're called.
Yeah. I'm picturing that. So, but I was also picturing like if a mind witness and its pack of flumps are like running away from a bear, would the mind witness trip the flump to make sure the bear eats the flump and not the mind witness? You know what I mean? Like if you're running away from a bear, would you trip your homie so you don't die?
No, mind witness is going to go to bat and protect his flumps.
That's cool.
You should look up a picture of the mind witness. Okay. I would like to see your reaction to the way it looks in Volo's Guide, which I think is a great depiction of it.
Mind witness. My Volo's Guide is in another room, so I'm going to use the power of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Why is it like... Oh, yeah, it does a little bit. Does Dumbified? Have the Davy Jones.
A little
just
bit.
Just a small amount.
Yeah, just a teeny amount.
Just like a really clean, like an adolescent Davy Jones, you know? Not so scruffy.
Not so scary.
There are some really concerning pictures of its underside on some of these.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
That's the lamprey mouth.
My God. Okay, yeah. Definitely look that shit up, you guys.
Okay. You ready to go over the stat block?
Yeah, I am. I got the mind witness here. It's a large aberration of lawful evil with an armor class of 15 natty.
Mm-hmm.
HP is 75 or 10 d10 plus 20. Mm-hmm. With a walking speed of 0 feet, but a flying speed of, hover, 20 feet. Which is less
pretty
than
slow.
The other beholders, right? They do 30?
I'm not sure Double off the top that. Of my head, but it makes sense
it might
that they
be
would
20,
be slow.
Actually.
They don't have a will of their own, so they're probably just slow movers.
They don't have a will of their own.
They
so
don't.
They just like laze around the house.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
Eat
they
all the
about unless
in
told
one sitting.
To do something.
They got a strength of 10, a dex of 14, a constitution of 14, an intelligence of 15, a wisdom of 15, and a charisma of 10. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad at all. Saving throws, intelligence plus 5, wisdom plus 5, skills and perception, perception plus 8, and it's immune to being prone, like all beholders.
I find it interesting that it is very, very smart and very perceptive, but still doesn't have a will of its own.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Like a cell tower. Languages are deep speech and undercommon.
Uh-huh.
Telepathy, 600 feet. That's far.
Yes, it's very smart.
That's a challenge rating 5 worth 1,800 experience points.
Oh,
for those
boy.
Of you that use experience points, you've made yourselves known to this
indeed,
show.
Indeed they have.
A feature of this monster is telepathic hub. When the mind witness receives a telepathic message, it can telepathically share that message with up to 7 other creatures within 600 feet of it that can see it. Yep, it's just bouncing signal. It's
mm-hmm.
just bouncing signal.
That's what it does.
A telepathic massage. That would have been a cool thing for my... remember how I made like a brooding Psy Warrior on accident?
Yeah.
Should have made him a massage therapist.
You know, what is a telepathic massage other than just an ASMR video?
That's interesting. That's an interesting way to do it. I was thinking of like telekinesis, like rubbing them muscles for realsies.
Oh, actually, that sounds unpleasant. I would not want psychic rubs upon the ridges of my brain.
Okay, we're going to go into pitch mode. Brian's going into pitch mode. Right. Think of this, a telepathic link between yourself and your massage therapist, and they use their telekinesis to make sure that you're having a great time because they know what they're doing right.
There's a difference between telepathy and telekinesis, though.
Yes, you got to have both.
Okay, you got to have both, yeah. So that's not a telepathic massage, that's a telekinetic massage.
Yeah, okay. Yes, there we go.
So you were saying telepathic. I'm thinking like literally brain waves, like making your brain feel like it's having a massage.
I was in like umbrella mode, like brain power to do brain
stuff. A psychic massage.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
My Psy Warrior should have been a massage therapist, is
it
all
should,
I'm saying.
Yes, and I agree.
A telekinetic one.
Yeah, of course.
And a telepathic one.
Why not?
Why not have an ASMR video at the same time as your telekinetic muscle massage.
What was your Psy Warrior's name again?
Brain.
Okay. Let's get back to the Mind Witness.
Wait, we have more? We have more? Oh, yeah. We have all the actions.
Yeah, all the actions.
I went into pitch mode. I don't do that on the show.
No, you don't.
So we got the multi-attack. The Mind Witness makes two attacks, one with its Javy Jones bits and one with its bite. That is to say tentacles. Bite is a melee weapon attack of +5 to hit it with a reach of 5 feet on one creature. It's going to do 16 or 46 plus 2 piercing damage, as bites sometimes do. Mm-hmm. Tentacles are the second one. Melee weapon attack +5 to hit, reach of 5 feet, one creature. It's going to hit for 20 or 48 plus 2 psychic damage.
Pretty hefty.
You get hit with a tentacle and you take psychic damage. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it says it's melee weapon attack. It says right there, it's melee.
Maybe it's not the tentacle that hurts you. It's like when it gets its tentacle on you.
Your feelings are hurt because you can't believe that it hit you with its like.
It then has a direct link to you and then attacks your mind in that way. That's what I'm thinking.
Okay. If the target is large or smaller, it is grappled. So there you go.
It's grabbing you.
It must succeed on a DC 13 intelligence saving throw or be stunned until this grapple ends. There's an intelligence saving throw.
Nice. You don't see those
a long time. Often. Yeah.
Yeah. Psychic stuff. Yeah. Makes sense.
It's got eye rays, baby. The Mind Witness shoots three of the following magical eye rays at random, rerolling duplicates, choosing one to three targets it can see within 120 feet of it. Okay. The first one is the Aversion Ray. The targeted creature must make a DC 13 Charisma saving throw. On a failed save, the target has disadvantage on attack rolls for 1 minute. The target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success.
Pretty cool.
Number two is the Fear Ray. The targeted creature must succeed on a DC 13 Wisdom saving throw or be frightened for 1 minute. Mm-hmm. The target can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. Number three is the Psychic Ray. The target must succeed on a DC 13 intelligence saving throw or take 27 or 68 psychic damage. Fuck.
It's a beast.
Number four is the Slowing Ray. The targeted creature must make a DC 13 dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, the target's speed is halved for 1 minute. In addition, the creature can't take reactions and it can't take either an action or a bonus action on its turn,
but not both.
Mm. Not both, man. The creature can repeat the saving throw at the end of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. Number five is a Stunning Ray. The targeted creature must succeed on a DC 13 Constitution saving throw or be stunned for 1 minute. The target can repeat the saving throw at the start of each of its turns, ending the effect on itself on a success. Number six is the Telekinetic Ray. If the target is a creature, it must make a DC 13 strength saving throw. On a failed save, the Mind Witness moves it up to 30 feet in any direction, and it is restrained by the raised telekinetic grip until the start of the Mind Witness's next turn, or until the Mind Witness is incapacitated. If the target is an object weighing 300 pounds or less that isn't being worn or carried, it is telekinetically moved up to 30 feet in any direction. The Mind Witness can also exert fine control on objects with this ray, such as manipulating a simple tool, or opening a door or a container or
doesn't need hands.
Getting your muscles worked so good.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I do like how all six rays are all psionically themed.
Yes, that is cool.
They're none of them are magically themed. I like that.
Yeah. The telekinetic ray is pretty much the same ray.
I mean, the beholder already had
your
that.
Ray. Yeah, there's some overlap. That's fine. I really like that too. I like how this kind of fits with the beholder having some sort of psychic capacity to begin with that a mind flayer would go to make one of these.
Yeah.
It's like a good target. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it seems like there's a lot of good reasons to pick a beholder over like lots of other creatures.
As a slave? If you can handle it, sure.
Yeah.
Anything you want to add to that before we move on?
No.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about the Intellect Devourer.
Ooh.
Now, you haven't seen a picture of this thing, have you?
I did because I needed the stat block.
Okay, I was hoping you hadn't.
Yeah, it's a brain horse.
Kinda. The Intellect Devourer is a bizarre monster. It's one of those horrific but silly looking creations that once you are familiar enough with D&D monsters, it's obviously a D&D monster.
It's obviously a D&D monster. No one else. Or a Yu-Gi-Oh card.
Or that,
there's some
yes.
severe overlap there.
There seems to be. It essentially resembles a walking brain protected by a crusty covering and set on bestially clawed legs. I was going to say pull up one on Google. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
this foul aberration, as its overly obvious moniker implies, feeds on the intelligence of sentient creatures. And in doing so, it takes over a victim's body on behalf of its masters, the Mind Flayers. Mm. So Mind Flayers breed Intellect Devourers to serve as roaming hunters of the Underdark. They're basically like these things, horrifying bloodhounds, cyanically sniffing out brains for their masters.
I can't believe that this is actually what it is. Yeah. It like, looks like it's supposed to do that.
Yeah, it does.
Oh my god.
The Illithids create Intellect Devourer by taking the brain of one of their thralls and subjecting it to a horrible ritual that D&D sources fail to outline, but I'm sure is appalling to behold.
Yeah, as old.
Yeah. As it sprouts legs, the brain becomes an intelligent predator as twisted and evil as its masters.
Jeez, man. Yeah. Like, it feels like the template for Mind Flayers was something else, and they're just like, what if we made it all psychic? Like, this isn't like a hunting wolf, you know? Like, what if we made barbarians psychic?
I think that Illithids are obviously very Lovecraftian inspired, and Lovecraftian stuff has a lot of psychic stuff going on too.
Yeah, so, but I mean, like, just the setup here, like, we've got attack dogs and we have got, like, evil scientists. Like, what if we just made, like, barbarian tribes are strong and they smash stuff good.
Yeah.
Mind Flayer tribes are smart and they think stuff crazy.
Yes.
It just feels, you know, you get what I'm saying? It feels like they kind of took like a shape of something and then like,
they leaned heavily
into it.
Turn it
all into brain stuff.
I mean, yeah, D&D does that.
I can't put my finger on what it is.
A lot of fiction does that. Well, I mean, I have made it out to be a bloodhound. And it essentially is. Like
It is.
They do attack and they do. But then what they do, what they do is they attack, they eat the brain, or they take over the brain, and then they take over the body, and they bring it back to their Mind Flayer masters. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess bloodhounds kind of do that with prey.
Yeah, like a dachshund.
Yeah, I suppose so. Anyways. I don't know, man.
I don't know either. I can't formulate what I want to say. I can't articulate what I'm thinking.
Well, maybe it'll come to you.
There's something there.
Okay, gotcha.
Let me know in the comments what you guys think I'm thinking of.
In previous editions, the process of making Intellect Devourers had a larval stage creature called an Ustilagar. Ustilagar. Yeah, sure that. Rather than fully developed legs, the Ustilagars slither about on vine-like tendrils, and the larval creature lacks the hard protective crust of its adult counterpart, making it squishy and moist.
Oh, God.
They are considered a delicacy by many Mind Flayers and are sold for high prices in several varieties, such as raw, pickled, or seasoned with fungi. An Intellect Devourer will instinctually hunt a thinking being and consume the creature's mind and memories. It then turns the host body into a puppet under its control. An Intellect Devourer typically uses its puppet host to lure others into the domain of the Mind Flayers to then be enthralled and consumed by its masters.
There's people that are like, yes, eat the memory of what I did in the fourth grade. Eat it.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So these things are a lot smarter than bloodhounds. Like, I mean, they're walking brains.
I was going to say, like, what tipped you off, brother?
They can't do anything else but think. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think their intelligence, what, it's like 12 to 14, somewhere in there.
What's wrong, brainy? I just want to sleep, but I can only think.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com.
I swear to God. You got any questions about the Intellect Devourer? Because that's all I got. And you have the stat block.
I have a multitude of questions. Like, well, the first and foremost being why? Why?
Because it's the Underdark. Things are weird down here, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we got floating fart monsters with hearts of gold. We got Davy Jones, as far as the eye can see. We got beholders, like reality warping one-eyed, but actually 11-eyed monsters. So anyways.
Psychic mushrooms.
We have psychic mushrooms. Yeah, absolutely.
Crazy fish people.
With the Kurotoa.
Their shit goddess. Yeah.
Their shit goddess. Yes.
Shadakla.
Are you ready?
It was Shadakla, right?
No, it's not. No.
What was it?
What was Shadakla? If we're talking about the Kuotoa, it's Blip-Dope-Bloop. What was it?
Oh, Blip-Dope-Bloop.
Yeah, that one.
Oh,
fuck. Yeah,
what was Shadakla?
Shadakla is the realm in which Zuckmoy comes from. And doesn't.
Oh, that's right.
And you couldn't figure out a joke for the realm of Shadakla, which is also where Jubilix lives. He lives under it.
Yeah,
and They splatoon about.
Mm-hmm.
We discussed
this. They splatoon about.
Tell me about Intellect Devourers, Brian.
I will. They're tiny aberrations of lawful evil. They're tiny, so they're like little Pomeranians.
Yeah. Well, I mean, remember, they're human brains that are given legs.
Okay.
They don't enlarge all that much.
Nice. Nice.
God, can you imagine when this says a horse, though?
I did. I was like, this is manticore size with its big meaty claws.
No.
They're tiny aberrations of lawful evil. Their armor class is 12 and their hit points are 21 or 64 plus 6. They have a movement speed of 40 feet. That's scary. Why are they so fast?
They crawl about, can't they?
They have four legs. They can only think and run around on their four legs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
Nope.
Strength is 6. Dexterity is 14. Constitution 13. Intelligence 12. Wisdom 11. And Charisma 10. Skills are Perception plus 2, Stealth plus 4. Nice. Damage resistance is bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing from non-magical weapons. That's cool to have.
Mm-hmm.
I am a brain. You cannot defeat me with regular steel.
Yeah, well, okay, so I know it looks like a brain, because it is. But like that the brain you're seeing is a protective crust, so it's actually really tough.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's like a tough skin.
Tough brain.
Yeah.
Hard brain. Condition immunity is blinded. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Blind sight of 60 feet. Blind beyond this radius, though.
Mm-hmm.
And a passive perception of 12. They understand deep speech but can't speak because they don't have a mouth.
But they probably have telepathy, no?
We'll get there.
Okay.
Telepathy, 60 feet.
That's what I thought.
Challenge rating 2. These bad buggers are worth 450 experience points.
Gotcha.
For those of you who count experience points.
Yeah, a few of these things coming up on you, scary.
Oh, yeah. That seems bad. Seems bad, especially when they can detect sentience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Intellect Devourer can sense the presence and location of any creature within 300 feet of it that has an intelligence of 3 or higher. Rocks, you're good.
Yeah.
Everything else, beware.
Yeah. Well, and all those things that we've said are one higher than a rock, they're also good.
Mm. Regardless of interposing barriers, unless the creature is protected by a Mind Blank spell. You want to look up the Mind Blank spell,
Sure.
Though? Multi-attack.
I can imagine what it does. It
probably. Spoilers.
Blanks the mind.
Blanks your fucking mind, dog. Okay, so multi-attack. The Intellect Devourer makes one attack with its claws and uses Devour Intellect. We'll get to that in a second. Claw is melee weapon attack, plus 4 to hit, reach 5 feet, 1 target. It's going to do 7 or 2d4 plus 2 slashing damage.
Wait, it's claw?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's the claw.
I just didn't think about this in clawing anybody.
Yep, slashing damage, 7 slashing damage is not anything to sneeze at, especially when the next thing it does is devour intellect.
Oh, God.
The intellect...
Not my intellect.
The intellect devourer targets one creature it can see within 10 feet of it that has a brain. The target must succeed on a DC 12 intelligence saving throw against this magic or take 11 2d10 psychic damage.
Are there any thinking creatures in this game that don't have a brain? There's got to be at least some, right? Like, what about intelligent constructs? It can't devour their intellect, can it?
Like a Warforged?
Sure. Like, Warforged don't have brains, right? I don't think so. But even if it's not, there are other intelligent constructs.
I've never
cut a Modron. Does a Modron have a brain?
I've never cut open a Modron or a Warforged.
Me neither.
We need to do some.
I'm just like, it was specific about the brain part. I'm just like, how many intelligent creatures don't have a brain? What about like, there's got to be oozes that are at least smart, as smart as a 6 or 7. This thing can't touch them. They definitely don't have brains because you can see through them. I want a list of intelligent creatures without brains that are in this game.
We've got some serious Googling to do.
Mm-hmm.
The target must succeed on, I read that, on a failure, roll 3d6. If the total equals or exceeds the target's intelligence score, that score is reduced to 0.
Oh boy.
The target is stunned until it regains at least 1 point of intelligence. Okay, how do you do that? It doesn't say, like, repeat the save. Is that a restoration thing? Like,
maybe.
What is this?
So, you make a save.
Okay.
And it drains you all the way to 0?
If the total equals or exceeds the target's intelligence score, that score is reduced to 0. The target is stunned until it gains at least 1.
So you don't even
1.
Make a save, really?
Yeah, you have to, like, get it back.
The smarter you are, the better protected you are against this stuff.
Right. But how do you get these back? It doesn't say.
I don't know.
There must be a rule.
I'm sure there's a
stuff
rule
like this.
About it, ability score
it
drains.
It smells like restoration. Like
it
greater
does smell
restoration.
Like restoration. Yeah.
I'm sure that would fix it. So, I wonder what else would fix it. Does long rest fix this?
Probably not, no.
Probably not.
No.
You're just waking up dumb as fuck. Can you imagine waking up and everybody's like, damn, when'd you get so fucking stupid? Like, you can't even fucking clean
are you
up
ready?
Your bed rolls.
Are you ready for the Mind Blake spell?
Yeah, give me the Mind Blake spell.
Okay, Mind Blake. It's actually an 8th level abjuration spell. Yeah, it's very high. Casting time, 1 action. It lasts for 24 hours. Only bards and wizards get this. Until the spell ends, one willing creature you touch is immune to psychic damage, any effect that would sense its emotions or read its thoughts, divination spells, and the charmed condition. The spell even foils wish spells and spells or effects of similar power used to affect the target's mind or to gain information about the target. It's like, this mind is fucking warded.
You've activated my trap card. You can't even wish this shit out.
No,
out
my brain
me.
Is so protected.
It's 8th level magic. Yeah. Fuck your 9th level
the
magic.
The best helmet.
We got Body Thief. The Intellect Devourer initiates an intelligence contest with an incapacitated humanoid within 5 feet of it. If it wins this contest, the Intellect Devourer magically consumes the target's brain, teleports it into the target's skull, and takes control of the target's body. While inside a creature, the Intellect Devourer has total cover against attacks and other effects originating outside its host. The Intellect Devourer regains its intelligence, wisdom, and charisma scores, as well as understanding of deep speech, its telepathy, and its traits. It otherwise adopts the target's statistics. It knows everything the creature knew, including spells and languages. Holy fuck. If the host body drops to 0 hit points, the Intellect Devourer must leave it. A protection from evil and good spell cast on the body drives the Intellect Devourer out. That's only a 2nd level spell. That's good. The Intellect Devourer is also forced out if the target regains its devoured brain by means of a wish, which is 9th level, which we've established. By spending 5 feet of its movement, the Intellect Devourer can voluntarily leave the body, teleporting to the nearest unoccupied space within 5 feet of it. The body then dies.
Yeah, I was about to say, like, you got rid of it. Cool. It ate your brain.
Unless its brain is restored within 1 hour.
How do you restore its brain?
Sounds like a restoration spell.
I don't know. It sounds like they're going to die and you have to revivify them. That's all I got.
There should be, like, a manual. Like, it should have been included in the stat block of, like, how to fucking fix these problems. Like, where do I... It doesn't even say, like, reference page this of the DMG.
To deal with the,
like,
brain issue.
Yeah, you got brain issues? Oh, I don't know. Like,
well, you're dead. You're dead now.
Let me look up a greater restoration real quick to see, like, what it covers.
Okay, I guess while you do that, I will just be more direct in my Google search.
Okay. You imbue a creature you touch with positive energy to undo a debilitating effect. You can reduce the target's exhaustion level by 1 or end one of the following effects on the target. One effect that charmed or petrified, one curse, including the target's attunement to a cursed magic item, any reduction to one of the target's ability scores, one effect reducing the target's hit point maximum. Reduction to one of the target's ability scores.
So there's that, but this doesn't solve the brain
problem. This doesn't solve the brain thing. That is probably the wish spell. Like, can I get this guy's brain back?
Yeah, I think this person dies and you have to spend a spell to revive them.
Yeah, they're like giving you because this is clearly written for high level, like based off of some of the things.
Maybe
that you have
this
to
thing's
do.
A challenge rating too, so I don't know.
Well, the Greater Restoration is a fifth level abjuration spell.
True. Like if a pack of these shows up, there's a chance one of your dudes is going to get their brain eaten. As long as you're like between levels 8 and 10 or 12.
So if you're doing like a really high level Underdark Mind Flayer thing,
you probably have the resources.
This is a really like this is an obstacle with low level creatures that is actually going to challenge that party and make it use resources
which
that
I like.
Normally wouldn't.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So like if you want to like obliterate your low level players by eating their brains, here
you go.
This
is how you do it.
This is a great way to do that with a 20 HP monster that you can mob.
I like that. Yeah.
Like what a horrifying thing, having to wish your friend's brains back into their skulls and shit. Like,
seriously.
I know what to do. Also, like, how do you, in character, do you know that you can just do that? Oh, he's not dead. Like, it's been 10 minutes. He's still not dead.
Well, without your brain, you will die.
But it says you have an hour to do it. Like,
an hour to do what?
The body then dies unless its brain is restored within 1 hour. That's the last
thing. That makes no sense. Like, you're not going to breathe.
It doesn't make sense, but it's written there.
Okay, fine, whatever. I mean, person dies, you got to revive them or take them to a cleric who can revive them. That's my ruling right now. That's how I see it until I see something else that changes my mind. Anything else you want to add about intellect devourers?
I like their legs. I like their buff legs.
Gotcha. Do we do long rest? Is that what we do? I don't remember what we do anymore.
Yeah, we're going to do a long rest.
All right, let's go take a long rest.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the long rest. We're getting ready for bed, and we're putting on our warm slippers, even though summer is approaching, because we like to keep our feet clean as we walk around this nasty dungeon. Isn't that right, Will?
Indeed.
What's on our slippies today?
Probably tentacles.
Our slippies got the Davy Jones.
Or brains. Oh, even worse.
Brains. fun fact about Beholders, Will. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a Beholder in the upcoming Dungeons & Dragons movie. It's going to be played by Bill Nighy.
Bill Nighy?
William Francis Nighy. Nighy?
Oh, you like Bill Nighy the Science Guy? Time?
No, it's the guy who plays Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, the guy who plays the stepfather in Shaun of the Dead.
Yes.
Love that guy.
Love Shaun of the Dead. Yeah. Great movie.
He'd be a great beholder.
Yeah.
I wish I had a quote from him right now, but I don't.
Oh, Sean, you idiot.
Okay, fair enough.
And that's my beholder fun fact.
He also played the father of the main character from Underworld, I do like that movie.
He's the vampire.
I think his name's
movie,
Victor,
right?
In that movie. Yeah.
Oh, Victor the vampire. Okay.
He's like the boss monster. He's like the end guy. He's the main bad guy. Antagonist.
Yeah, I think
there's
you're
a
right.
word for that. Yeah.
Ooh.
Anyways, what we got today, Brian?
Yeah, I guess the Wikipedia put this article is about the British actor for the American science educator, see Bill Nighy. So I guess it is Nighy.
Yeah.
But it has a Y at the end, which is why I wanted to say it like that. It's N-I-G-H-Y.
N-I-G-H-Y. Nighy.
That's why I said it like that. But it's clearly they're like, if you want to know more about Bill Nighy, the science guy, this is the wrong page.
Oh, so it must be Nighy. Yeah.
So, anti-who, let's give our thanks, Will.
Indeed, it's time to do that.
Take my hands and close your eyes.
Okay.
I see that you're doing it. I'm going to now close my eyes and thank everybody who came into Patreon over the last, like, month or so. Hell yeah, everybody.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank
guys.
You guys so much for supporting us. You help our dreams of doing this full time come closer and closer every day. And that's
indeed.
Badass as fuck. I love you guys so much. I hope you're enjoying your bonus content. Please don't hesitate to get into the Discord and get into the private exclusive channel and check out stuff like the dungeon chats and yada yada. So let's get into it. We got patrons. Let's go, Will. You ready?
Let's go.
Okay. We got Gato del Agua. Thank you for upping your pledge.
Thank you. Oh, God, what is it?
Gato del Agua.
Gato del Agua. Thank you very much.
Water cat.
All right, water cat. Thank you.
No, it's Gato del Agua.
I said that first, so okay, I've said them both now.
Thanks for upping the pledge, Gato del Agua. We got Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Patrick.
There's no last name?
This is Patrick.
It must be Patrick Star.
It's just Patrick.
It has to be Patrick Star then.
Firmly grasp it.
Thank you, Patrick.
Firmly grasp it. We got Emmanuel Laplante.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
Thank you for upping your pledge. Thank you. Thank you. We got DM Lou.
Thank you, DM Lou.
DM Lou. We got Reese. Bah, bah, bah,
bah. Thank you, Reese.
Thank you, Reese.
That's like Reese's
Reese Witherspoon.
Reese's
Cup, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking Reese's Cup. You know, in Canada, it's not Reese's, it's just Reese.
Reese Cup?
Mm-hmm. Reese Cups.
Yeah. Damn. Thanks for the hockey, Canada. I'll just say something positive instead of what I was going to say.
Yeah.
The Whiskey Dictionary.
Thank you, Whiskey Dictionary.
Damn, the Whiskey Dictionary. They got money for us. Thank you, Whiskey Dictionary.
Thank you, Whiskey Dictionary.
Nick Serrano.
Thank you, Nick.
We got The Last Mile. The Last Mile? Jeez, dude. Up in the pledge like that? Bam, 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 bam.
Thank you, The Last Mile.
Adam Balaban.
Thank you, Adam.
Nick Smith.
Thank you, Nick again. Another Nick.
It's this one spelled N-I-C-H.
Oh.
Nick.
Thank you, Nitch.
Nitch. Nitch.
Thank you, Nick.
It's probably Nick.
Probably.
Thank you, Sam Lesader.
Thank you, Sam Lesader?
Lesader. It's like a real last name, I think.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Sam.
I'm never sure what names are real and which aren't.
You can never tell. Patreon doesn't like discern. So
I'll learn to shut my damn mouth about people's names. Oneski.
Thank you, Oneski.
Kevin Bowles.
Thank you, Kevin Bowles. Like bowels? Like bowels.
Yeah.
Like B-O-W.
B-O-W-L-E-S.
Thanks, Kevin.
What did I just say about people's names, man?
Yeah, I got you, man.
All right. We got Sam.
Oh, there's a lot of Sams and Nicks today. What is happening?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sam
thank you to
Nick
all
Brigade.
The Sams listening right
thank
now.
Thank you, Sams and Nicks. That sounds like an ice cream brand.
Does. I go to Sams and Nicks.
I'd go to Sam's and Nick's for a brewski.
Yeah.
Let's get some love for Toan Lee.
Say it again.
T-O-A-N-L-I.
T-O-A-N-L-I
is separate.
Thank you, Toan Lee.
Toan Lee. And then Ryan Carter.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan. The Knicks, the Ryans,
the Kevins. And the Kevins.
The Oneskis.
The Oneskis.
The Last Miles. Miles. Lou.
Is that the whole list?
That was the whole list.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks,
thank you
guys
so much. It means the world
you guys
does.
Fucking rule.
Indeed.
Just peep the bonus content. It's getting updated.
Yeah, thanks for supporting us. It helps tremendously.
We're almost at the end of a Super Quest Saga arc, so there's going to be the OST and the $10 tier is going to be updated.
Indeed.
And we keep that fresh and fun and light, all those compositions. I can't believe I've written like 30 songs for that show. Fuck.
Indeed.
It's going to be too. Like 50 by the time they're done. It's the show.
I don't know. There's only 14. Well, as far as I can tell, from where we've stopped recording, which is ahead of what's released as of right now, there should only be 14 episodes left. So,
right.
If you're writing one song per new episode, then yeah, maybe you will have 50.
It's averaging one song per
okay.
new episode.
There so. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot, man.
One time I just like down pitched a song because there were two fights in the same episode.
Yeah,
and
that's fine.
It sounded totally different. I was like, yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Anyway, you can check all that stuff out on Patreon. We got a Google Drive system. We got live play stuff in there. So thanks, patreon.com/thedungeoncast. If you'd like to support us, you can also support us by following our social media accounts, like The Dungeon Cast on Instagram and Twitter, where we occasionally run contests, take polls. And also Discord has been a really cool place lately. They're doing it's always a cool place, but they just started a community village project where you guys can have some input on the community village.
I voted.
I went with Swamp and we were taken over
mountain.
By Mountains.
I went with Mountain.
Mountain
yeah.
was my second choice for sure.
Yeah.
But I had just played a Quiet Year game with Mountains. So I was like, let me go with Swamp and see what the community does with that. And the thick thickets.
And the thickest thickets.
Damn it. You guys took it from me. Anyway, that's it. I think we're going to call it a game.
We're going to call it a game. We'll talk to you guys later.
Goodbye.
The Dungeon Cast.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.